pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If you remain standing, we'll be led in prayer today by Chuck Whitmire from Shiloh Church.
Dear Heavenly Father, the signs of spring and new life are all around us right now, and we're grateful for that. We're thankful for what you do in our hearts to make us new as well. We pray tonight for those who lead our village. We pray for wisdom and decisions that must be made. We pray for those who serve in our police department, first responders, fire department, and all of those folks who selflessly give of themselves for public safety and for the good of our community. I pray, Father, that we might have a grateful heart towards you and that you'll give wisdom to each of the deliberations tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We get attendance and roll call, please.
Johnson?
Here.
Frank?
Here.
Shire?
Here.
Emily?
Here.
Adam?
Here. A motion to excuse Mr. Dawson. He is out of town.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Emily?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Approval of the agenda.
I would like to ask Council if they would consider amending the agenda in two respects. Number one is to change the executive session to go to executive session to discuss pending or imminent litigation pursuant to Ohio Revised Code 121.22G3. It would be a conference with the attorney and the public body. So Council would consider that. I might ask for a motion in a second if that's appropriate for you.
Make a motion to add an executive session as recommended.
I'll second it.
I have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Dunline?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes. Thank you. And second, if Council would consider amending the agenda to add Resolution 25-05, that's the resolution that was sent out to Council, I think, late last week.
Under new business?
Yes.
Just a question. That number will be 05.
Yeah.
2025.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. I get it.
25-05.
It should be 05-2025.
Oh. Is that an emergency?
Yes, Mr. Vice Mayor.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to add Resolution 05-2025 to the agenda. Roll call, please.
Shire?
Yes.
Dunlap?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Thank you, Council.
And I have a motion to approve the agenda with the added.
So moved. Second.
I have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Dunlap?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Can we get the approval of the minutes from the March 4th, 2025 special meeting?
I'll move.
Second.
I have a motion and second. Roll call, please.
Adams?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Dunlap?
Yes.
Minutes from the April 7th, 2025 regular meeting?
So moved.
To approve.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Dunlap?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Public wishing to address council today? Chief, did you want to talk now, or if you want to go up now, you can.
What? I'm not here to speak unless I need to.
Okay. So we'll just bring it up later then.
Would you like me to do it, Your Honor?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Correspondence?
None at this time, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Administrative reports, Minister?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, as I put to you in my report, as much as I probably should have done it beforehand, but recently, for the last month or so, we were underway with tax season, and now the tax season is officially over. I'm pretty sure every person here in this room is excited about that. We have been, and staff has been working very hard on making sure that they were collecting the village income taxes and making sure that they were being processed. So I just wanted to take a moment and thank all the village administrative staff who took a monstrous amount of time helping the public and getting their taxes taken care of. And so that way we can get that process for them and, you know, put that back into our funds and making sure that, everything is squared away for them. So, with that being said too, just reminding you that, I will be attending the Fulton County Economic Development Corporation annual meeting, this Thursday evening. I know I tried reaching out to you about seeing if you wanted to attend as well. In the event that you could attend, but I understand some of you have other things that are going on, and I understand it's also kind of difficult to do to come and attend when it's, you know, in the evening in the middle of a work week. So as I kind of mentioned in the last village council meeting, we had been looking for candidates for our streets and parks labor positions. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to go back to the drawing board. I reached out to some people, and I came to the conclusion that rather than having the age limit be 18 for these positions, I'm going to lower it down to 16. I've already had three individuals actually apply who were under the age of 18 because they just wanted to see if the age was the breaking point. So what I'm going to do is, beginning tomorrow, Tuesday, April 22nd, I'm going to leave that. I'm going to repost it to our village Facebook page. I'll send it back out to the superintendent in the school district to see if there's any kids that will still be interested in applying for the position to the end of the week, or at least until the positions are filled. Because right now we're in a crucial time where we need to get these positions filled. So initially, I gave this a two and a half weeks actually to find individuals who were interested, and I couldn't get one. So I'm going to beginning tomorrow, April 22nd. This is going to be these positions are going to be open until filled. So continuing on, recently the new base has been put in for the new Space Force flagpole. Out on the west end of the village, out on US 20, the flagpole, we're hoping that will be up and maybe have the flag up ready for Memorial Day weekend. It all comes down to how the people who are installing the flagpole can get it done by. And onto my next item. We will also be purchasing the flower pots for the flowers to be hung up around the downtown area and allowing for the flowers to be put up as well. Lastly, in terms of administration, in my role as zoning administrator / inspector, I have approved two zoning permits. So, moving on to the report for streets, what can I say? We're in that time of year where it's just potholes, and more potholes. The streets department can't get enough of them. They've been specifically filling in the potholes on Roger Street and Enterprise Drive. It's been reported to me that these potholes along Roger Street and Enterprise Drive, they keep coming back in new places. I mean, it seems like the minute the streets department fills in one pothole on the street, another one starts cratering right next to it. And because of the fact that we're in the springtime right now, where we're getting anywhere between rain to sun to below freezing weather at times, it's just causing problems. But they have continued to fill in those potholes until they're completely done. And they'll also be working on the road repairs as soon as the asphalt plants open. So in terms of what the Streets Department has also been doing, they've been working on getting the park ready for the year. They've been just doing some small task work around the park and helping rework Field 2, excuse me. They started mowing and brush pickup around the village, and they'll begin doing headstone foundations in the cemetery beginning around May 1st. And then in terms of our water wastewater operations, the water employees have continued to operate effectively in both the water and wastewater plants, and they're still working to cover those positions and that work that needs to get done. The ultraviolet units have been installed at the wastewater plant to prepare for disinfection season, and soon the water department will be preparing to replace fire hydrants, to which then, after that is done, they will then move on to lead line identification after the hydrant replacement is scheduled, or after the scheduled hydrant replacement, excuse me, is completed. And with that being said, that is the end of the monthly report for April of 2025.
I just had a couple questions. We'll start and go backwards. For lead line identification for all those residents who have received notifications that they have there's questions in regards to what their line is constructed of, what are the steps that these residents need to take as we move forward with this, or is the village going to be reaching out with their instructions?
That is a good question, Council Bashir. In attendance tonight is our water superintendent, Ms. Jamie Flores. If you would like, I could have her step up to the podium and be able to answer that question better than I could.
Jamie, if you don't mind.
No, that's fine. So once we start the identification process, we're actually going to use the jet truck to vac holes down to the line, and then we'll know exactly what it is.
Okay.
More than likely it's not lead, more than likely it's galvanized, but we don't have documentation, so we have to consider it lead. That's why they receive the letters. So once we start identifying them, the letters may change, or they may not receive letters based off of what we find. So they'll get notified before we do it, because we're going to plant it for put holes in their yard. So once we do that, then we'll refill it with topsoil, and then we'll grass it over and move on. So, yep.
And then there was one last item I wanted to add to present to council in terms of my report is, so I have received some concerns about what is going on over at the Speedway gas station here in downtown. I have spoken with the project manager. I've also spoken with the overall manager who is overseeing the operation, so I guess operations manager in some sense. What they have said is that they've been brought in because they've had concerns about the smell of gasoline coming from the store, from the store itself. So what they are doing is they're going to extract from the sewer line and see where the vapor is coming from to get it resolved. And with that, as soon as they get into that, they're also going to start, from what I was told, is they're going to look into replace some of these old tanks that are sitting underground because they are just old and need to be replaced. And so what they're going to be doing here soon is they're going to be putting up a temporary 6-foot fence to try and prevent people from coming onto the property and making so that way they can make sure that they, you know, get it done as quickly, as efficiently as possible. So their timeline right now is about another week to 2 weeks before they're completely finished. They've been on the property for about a week and a half. In terms of EPA situation, in terms of the concern, there was a low level of concern from the Ohio EPA when they came in and they assessed the situation. But make no mistake, the Ohio EPA has been made aware of the situation. So at the very least, they have just requested from the village and from the public that they just not come onto the property until after they have completed their work. And they will reopen the store and reopen the gas station as a whole once it's done.
So I guess my follow-up question in regards to that is there a risk that if we're talking their concern is coming up through the sewer lines, that we have fuel seeping into our stormwater runoff underground somewhere, Jamie? Or
As far as I'm aware, that's not separated over there, so it would all be coming down to the wastewater facility, but at that low amount, I'm not concerned yet. But there are tests that we can do to see if there's fuel.
And with that being said, Councilman Shearer, I also have notified Ms. Flores about the situation. I've also notified our chief of police as well in the event that if something does go wrong, at least they're made aware. I try to make the individuals who would be impacted aware so far in the event that something does go wrong. But like I said, thankfully I reached out to the operations manager who has my phone number in the event that they can get a hold of me if they need assistance.
All right, last one, because we're all here. Where are we? I realize we just came out of a really busy season getting everything prepared for, finished up for the 2025 fiscal calendar and things of that nature. You commented that wastewater and water treatment is still being handled by one department. Where are we at on new job descriptions to be presented to council for that?
Were you given new job descriptions in your packet?
I missed them. I might have missed them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I will say with confidence that I assisted Ms. Allwood in putting in those new job descriptions in your packets.
I will have to hunt. I did not see.
Was it in your new business? Because it should have been put under new business.
It was behind resolution 0425.
I didn't miss it. Okay.
Perfect. And I'll explain a little bit more once we get further down into the agenda about. Well, this is kind of like my brainstorm idea.
That's all I got. Thank you.
Any other questions? You mentioned you had three applicants for the part-time positions.
Yes, as of today, I had three applicants who applied for the position that were not part of the initial job application process, but they had just applied today who were under the age of 18, and I plan on redoing the job posting.
Are you going to consider them as having an interview them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I will.
That's all. Assistant Finance Director.
An approval for the invoices.
Motion to approve.
I'll second it.
I have a motion and a second to pay the bills. Roll call, please.
Johnson?
Yes.
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Dunmore?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Did we not receive any bills? It's only $7,500. I've never seen such low.
I know, it's nice.
I'm like a gift horse in the mouth.
Law Director.
I just have one thing, Mayor and Council. If you would remember, we submitted the proposed offer to sell the fire department to York Township, and they have brought back an issue about requesting that we make some repairs to that building before that sale takes place. And remember, it was for the dollar, and then there was a provision in there that if they ever stopped using as a fire department, we purchase it back for a dollar. So I'm raising, I apologize, Marlene, I'm putting this on you. I don't know how much we have in that fire fund now, approximately.
I don't even. Last I heard, it was like 124 somewhere around there.
I don't know if Lynn knows offhand.
Well, it's 127,000 and change.
Okay. And if council remembers, so that is an earmarked fund only for fire, so we can only use it for fire, and since we don't have any fire expenses now, it basically just sits there. There is a procedure where we can go to the state auditor to try and have that moved into the general fund. That is not an automatic okay, and in this situation, I don't know how they would react to it. Their idea is the voters voted on this for a fire, for the fire levy, and this is for fire. Switching it over to general fund, it's an uphill climb for us to convince them to do that because they honor the voters' intent. So those funds could be used by council to make repairs or somehow renovate that station. And I think that's why the chief is here, and I don't know if the mayor wants to comment.
I have a copy of the list. that Chief Gillen had gotten together. And I know Mr. Frazier had went to visit the fire department last week or the week prior and took some pictures of some of the things. The first thing on the list was replace broken concrete approaches to all garage doors. And in 2023, the estimates were $35,000 to replace the four door openers on the south side of the building. They are still original from 1980. Estimates were $8,000 total. Add a garage door opener to the rear garage door, estimate $1,000. Fix of interior door frame, it will not shut, estimate in 2024 was $800. Add electric entry system to the building for all five exterior doors, guarding quoted $8,000. York Township would then pay the annual fees on that. Replace ceiling tiles in the apparatus bay that were damaged from when the roof leaked. Cost $10,000, and then cracks in the brick walls. There's insulation falling into multiple places, and there was no estimate obtained for that.
So how is ceiling tiles the most expensive thing?
It was a lot of them.
She was originally broached about potentially signing that over with the sale of the building. Is that not something we can do rather than us taking on partial work?
Yes, you can.
Okay, I think that would be easiest for all parties involved. It would take us completely off our books, and they would be able to get the work done exactly as they wanted to with those funds, because we can't use those funds except anything but fire. Correct.
Is it the position of the township that they don't want to take possession of the building in its current condition, and that they want the repairs to be performed prior to the sale?
That's what they expressed to me, but that was a while ago. We talked about that, so I don't know if we're here to speak on.
I could go to the next meeting and ask them if they want to, if we have signed that amount over to them.
Yeah. Did you do a quick calculator math on what that total was of that estimated work?
That is, if I may, Councilman Shiro, that is based on the estimates that I have received from Chief Gillen, minus the fix-all cracks and the block walls insulation, because of the fact that there was no estimate put on that, it was $62,800.
It's a deal for the fire department, but mm-hmm. I won't speak for them because I am not them. So, Mayor, Mr. Mayor, if you would go to the next meeting and broach with them, and we can...
And see about signing off that fund.
Yeah, clean it off.
Okay.
We're getting the property back eventually.
Well, wait a minute. Are you talking about signing off the whole $127,000?
Well, we can't use it for anything. We won't have a fire department. It'll literally just be sitting on our books indefinitely.
And what are you going to do if, when they return it, I'm not saying it would happen, but I'm trying to be, you don't know how the rest of that money is going to be spent.
Sure.
And I'm sorry, but I think council has a responsibility to know how that money is spent. So I would recommend that we don't turn it over to the fire department, that they take care, we authorize them to get these repairs made, turn in the bills to us, we pay for it. And if something else comes up, they can still come to us for more money, but
as you say,
I don't think we should turn those funds over.
We have put something in the contract where if there's additional repairs that are needed, they can submit it for council and council could appropriate that. I mean, it's in everybody's best interest to have a well-run fire department right there.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I agree. I think we owe it to the fire department to use those funds to repair as good landlords to repair the building prior to sale. It should be in good condition. That's what those funds are for. And those estimates may run over, too. So.
Yeah. Right, those are older estimates. So.
And I agree we should do it. I just don't think we should turn the funds over. I think we should be...
Can we utilize those funds for things like fire hydrant replacements, things that, you know, infrastructure to the village that's helpful for the fire department?
Let me check. I'll call the auditor's office. See, I would think so. I would think that would be appropriate.
And just if we're going to manage the repairs to the building, there should be some administrative costs in doing all that too. So.
It usually, as Councilman shares, and when you're dealing with a regular real estate deal and something like this comes up, usually the seller wants the money to do the work themselves. They don't want the buyer to do the work because you know, they're afraid they're going to do it cheaper, not to the seller's specifications. So it's usually, as Councilman Shire says, that they would do the work and then we would just pay the bill that comes in.
If council would like to consider the idea, we could potentially work to have a joint meeting with York Township. If that's something you would like to do, if the entire council wants to have a meeting with York Township, we can consider doing that.
That's two separate public meetings. Can we do that?
No, I'm talking one joint meeting.
It's two completely public meetings of.
Yeah, we'd have to have our own special meeting, whether it's over there or they would have to come here. So, yeah.
They would also have to have a special meeting.
Yes. I mean, unless they were to come to one of our regular council meetings. That would be a special meeting for them, though.
Right.
Their next meeting, I believe, would be next Wednesday.
This Wednesday,
would be their next meeting. I won't be there.
Wasn't there something posted online about a meeting? Is it Wednesday?
Tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. Okay.
I don't think that's necessary.
Okay.
I think if the mayor takes it over to the folks.
So just let them know that to not to sign off the whole account, but just let them know we'll do the repairs.
I think current updated estimates of all work that needs to be done so that we can disperse funds as necessary for them to hire those contractors in. And obviously, we know exactly how much is in that account, so we know how much we can basically be invoiced or hold an escrow for them.
But would that be on us as the landowners to get the estimates?
I would let them, because I think, again, they would want to pick the contractors and everything. So, we could attach that as an addendum to the contract, close on the sale so that it's in there, and then that way we don't make all the repairs and then they decide they don't want it or something like that. So mechanically, if they give us a punch list, then we can attach that to the contract and then make that part of the sale.
Chief, have you surpassed your deadline for your grant fundings for this year?
I didn't even submit it because, but nobody has submitted for those infrastructure program, so the money is still there.
Yep.
That's something that could potentially be looked into. These things that were on that list were literally stuff for operation of the building. It's nothing like the one on top machine and stuff like that.
Right. I'm just the sale of the building is part of this deadline for you.
For?
To apply for your grants, to make the improvements.
Yeah, I think that's passed at this point,
okay.
So it'd have to go to next year.
Okay.
That would be another reason the council would want to retain some funds, because there may be some matching money for some of those grants that may help us get that. So.
When do we collect rent? Is that a monthly thing?
It's paid on a quarterly basis.
I was going to say, we've collected for the first quarter already this year.
Just like I want to make it aware to the council, too, that once that building is sold out to York Township, it's still in the village limits, meaning that it is still within our zoning districts. So anytime that they want to make anytime they need to make any additions or any aspect that falls under the village's zoning code, they would have to abide by our zoning code. And once the new resolution gets put into place, it means that, say, a new addition gets put on, that would have to go through the Planning Commission and then go through you for approval as well. And then they would also have to pay the appropriate fees, unless, of course, there is a request to have them waived, which, again, if they were to be waived, that would have to come to council for approval.
We could just retain those from the fund, since they've already paid it, in a sense. I'm all out of questions.
I have nothing else, Mayor.
Okay, so I will go. It's Wednesday, right? Is the township.
Okay.
I'll go to the township meeting on Wednesday and run stuff by them then. Okay, police chief.
Good evening. So I talked a while ago about we did a review of some of the cold cases that were still within the statute of limitations. So one of those was a burglary from 2022. We were able to complete that packet and send it over to the prosecutor's office and hope to have that indicted soon. We feel like we got a pretty good suspect from DNA. We interviewed the suspect and the packet's over at the prosecutor's office for that one. We had another more recent burglary, had DNA hit off of that one, so now we're investigating that one, hope to have a suspect charged in that one within the next month or so. We're still conducting a couple of interviews, and we need to interview the suspect out of that one as well. We're looking at some, like the school zone signage. We've been in kind of contact with the streets department as well as ODOT to see what's out there as far as improving the signage for the school zone. It's pretty early on. We just talked to them a day or two ago. But it sounds like we can probably get the signs for free from the state, and it would just cost us the labor of having them installed, which we could have the street department do. We're looking to have at least one or two of the signs that flash for the school zone right now. There's just a marked school zone area, but there's not a time that's displayed, and there's not a flashing sign. I've seen other places that flash, like, hey, you're in a school zone. So it's kind of on the driver to know that there's school children present. And so we felt like if we improved that, then it would be no excuse for anybody speeding through the school zone. I don't believe it's a huge problem now, but it's always best that there's the best signage as possible. That way, if somebody is speeding, they don't have an excuse that they didn't know it was a school zone. So hopefully we'll have that improved this year. Hopefully before the end of school, we'll see how long that's going to take. We just started at the Law Enforcement Torch Run for the Special Olympics of Ohio. We're going to have that here in Delta. It's going to be June 11th, approximately 2 p.m. This goes to the state, so the state will be lighting the torch at the Special Olympics that Saturday. So there's all the legs throughout the state the week before. We're going to be the leg, a Northwest leg, that's going to take place that Wednesday. I believe the 2nd or 11th is a Wednesday. Finley's going to run it early in the day, then they're going to drive the torch up to us, and then we'll run about a mile and a half area through Delta. It's going to be all Fulton County first responders are welcome. The Jaguars have already committed that they're going to have some of their Special Olympics athletes here, and it's open to any member of the community, friends, family, that wants to come and, you know, walk, jog, run the torch with us. The torch carrying is limited to Special Olympics athletes and first responders, but everybody else can kind of be in the group as it goes through. And so as we get closer, we're going to kind of start to close down. It's going to go on Main Street. It's going to start at the police department, go down Taylor, east on Main, and then north on Monroe. So that's going to kind of be the box. Because the goal is, when it gets closer to provide some signs with some of the Special Olympic athletes' names on them and have the people that work and businesses and stuff come out and either put the signs on the outside or come out and just cheer along the Special Olympics athletes as they do the torch run. So we had a lot of good feedback from Triangular Services here in Fulton County. They're very excited. They have the Jaguars, which is a sports team that the Special Olympics athletes are a part of. So we've had a pretty good push so far. We've had maybe about 15 or 16 people signed up for the race. It's $30 into the race. You get a free T-shirt. And then 80% of that money comes back to Fulton County. And then 20% goes to the state Special Olympics. So we're excited to be a part of that. We're kind of pushing it. And right now I think we're in the top three in the state. It's early, but Fulton County is doing pretty good as far as getting people to sign up and getting donations for the torch runs.
You might want to talk to the Eagles because they always do something every year for Special Olympics.
Okay.
They have some kind of event that they do hold up at the Eagles.
Okay. We'll reach out to them for sure. We had a school safety grant, switching topics, there's a school safety grant that we're working on with the schools and the superintendent. We had the IT department come over to our department and look at what we would need to put security cameras into the police department, the security cameras from the school, so we would have a live view inside the school for the department. So we're currently working on that. We're going to try and wrap it all into a school safety grant so that will get paid for and it won't come out of anybody's budget. That has not been submitted yet, but we're in the planning budgeting process to see how much that's going to cost. And lastly, we started this is not just a police department thing, it's village employee thing. We started a health and wellness committee here for the village. We were kind of looking at if our health insurance for the village employees had any incentives for employees. You know, there's always an incentive usually for employees to do healthy things because then the insurance doesn't have to pay out as much and it kind of helps everybody. So we were able to find some of the things with the program. We started a committee. There's a grant with the committee that you can apply for. So we're looking at applying for that grant and getting some things like healthy snacks, kind of central that people, employees can stop in and get. But also, some of those incentives, like this month, is eat fruits and vegetables at least twice a day. So we're trying to encourage everybody to sign up. There's an app that you go through our insurance with, and you just say that you ate, you know, once you eat your vegetables, you say that you did it, and then you get entered in. The more people we have in the village, employees that are entered in, the more gift cards we get to win. So I think last I looked, we had 13 people signed up. If we get to 15 at the end of the month, we'll win. There'll be 3 gift cards that will be given out to the people that participated. So just that health and wellness committee is something that we've been working on to try and improve the health of the people in the village, the employees in the village specifically. And I think that's all that I have from the last couple weeks.
Awesome. Good work. Thank you.
And I passed that class. That I missed the last meeting. I was in the SWAT class, and I passed. So.
Absence excused.
All right. Anything from any members of councils or committees?
No, go ahead.
All right. Moving on to old business. We have discussion of park levy estimated revenues.
So I sent out that email to council. It was ordered from the auditor's office. And the numbers are there. According to my fourth grade math, it looks like each 0.25 is $17,000. So I think the council needs to decide on a couple of things. Number one is, do you just want to go back? First of all, do you want to go to the voters? If so, do you want to stay with the 1 mil? Or do you want to increase it? If you do want to increase it, then you have two options. You can still do the 1 mil renewal and then a second levy with any other addition, or you can combine them both together in one levy. The risk that you take there is that if it doesn't pass, then it's gone. If you have two separate levies out there, one may pass, one may not, but that's up to council.
This was more of a preliminary estimate here, right?
So what will happen is we sent, I and Marlena, thank you, I drafted the ordinances and sent them to the Marlena, and she forwarded them to the auditor. So I didn't expect these numbers to come back, right, but they did. They said these are the numbers. So rather than giving you 5 ordinances to choose from, I thought, let's give you the numbers, and then you tell me what you want, and then at the next meeting I will have the resolution for you to consider that will send it to the auditor, and then they'll send the number back officially. These are unofficial. So
they didn't happen to supply us with the average cost per $100,000 for homeowners?
They knew that when we send it, when we send them the ordinances. I can still send you the 5 ordinances if you'd
like. Well, that's a key component for me is to,
okay,
to be able to sell it to the taxpayer to say, you know, this may be better, but this is what it's going to cost you.
Okay. So I can have it on the agenda, the 5 ordinances next time, and then you guys consider that. That will come back with that number that you're talking about, mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'm going to expose a little bit of my civic ignorance right now. You mentioned that obviously if we do a renewal with an increase, it's two separate things potentially being put on the ballot.
You can or you can't combine them.
So if it's separate, can the increase pass and the renewal not?
It would be 2 separate levies. It wouldn't be an increase. So it would be a 1 mil levy or in a 0.5 levy.
Okay, so
something like that, yeah.
Because it's not a replacement.
Correct. Yep. It happens a lot like with fire department and with public safety. They'll do a capital levy and an operating levy. The recs don't have capital and operating, but it would be 2 separate levies. Yes, it would not be technically an increase.
Potentially the lesser increase could pass and the original could not.
Yes.
So, okay.
Or you could do a 0.5, a 1, a 1.5. And I mean, you can put on as many as you want.
Well, I don't think I'm alone in saying that a 1 mil increase is off the table. and most likely a 0.75% increase is off the table.
Well, if I'm going to get you out of...
You want to reduce resolutions coming.
I'm sorry?
If you want to reduce resolutions
coming. No, I think that I'll give you the resolutions, and if the 2 mil, you can say if there's a 2 mil, this is what the cost would be, and we decided not to do that. So, yeah. I mean, I have them all prepared and ready to go. It's another 30 seconds.
Okay.
So, and then a lot, just sort of switching gears a little bit of this line. So with the 17,000, then I think that the garbage would be a 0.25. Is that what you're looking for? Okay. So I'll have that with you at the levy next time too, the 0.25 for the garbage. Okay.
Since we're on the topic of the park levy, Lynn brought some numbers, I think. You have your budget book with you? Did we identify the current park levy and what it generates, and then what's in the current park fund and how that's being distributed? Anybody else want to know how park funds are distributed? Does this help us decide, or you want to look at that next week when we have these resolutions in front of us?
Okay, tell us and let it stew.
Pardon?
Tell us about that,
so we can stew on it.
Well, I'm having a difficult time with the way the budget was done this year, understanding things. But it appears to me that revenues for the park fund were only estimated for $43,000. And
that's from the tax.
And it says on the sheet that I had that it was from real estate tax. So is that the levy?
Yes, that's
what we're... Okay. So was there nothing put in there for from the income tax?
Distribution is just to water and the general fund.
Should be 2% to park.
It's not what the ordinance was.
The council, I think, changed that ordinance.
I would have never voted for that.
You'll have to go back and look at that. That was the new distribution when we discussed.
I thought personally, I remember Mr. Sika talking about that change. Maybe I don't recall correctly.
It does sound correct that we talked about it.
There is no income tax money going to the park.
So if that's the case, then why are salaries from the administration being charged to the park fund?
As I understand it, number one, when I spoke with Mr. Sito when he was still here, he said it was allowable to put some of the administrative salaries under the park levy, and I'll give you a few examples of why that was possible. Number one is, while we don't have a Parks and Recreation Director, I myself, as a village administrator, do have oversight of the park, including aspects that go exclusive, especially operations that go on in the park. You know, our finance director, you know, she reviews the expenses, runs the reports on things that get done in the park. And then with our clerk and council, I can make the case that, you know, in some aspect with the park board, I mean, she does post meetings and to our Facebook page, make sure that the public knows about our park board, about the park board meetings.
And what percent of your wages are going to the park fund?
10%.
You think you spend 10% of your time. That takes care of all the park levy. That's the whole park levy.
The $43,000 is all, that's only levy money. So what she's saying is you'd say 10% of your time, of the time combined, is parks only.
Oh, no, but we also put some of that money, we also took some of our salaries and put it into that levy so that we could alleviate the amount we were putting in, that we were taking out of the general fund as an expense.
What's the total?
Say that again.
What's total fringe benefits and wages coming from the park fund?
Let me pull up the fund here real quick.
I was just writing notes down.
Coming out of the 204 fund, you guys have $15,000 budgeted for expenses directly out of the 401 or 204, excuse me.
Yes, that was for that $15,000 was for capital outlay.
Right. And then out of the general fund for parks and recreations, the total expenses are $51,739. And all but about you've got $19,000 budgeted expense-wise for wages and fringe benefits, and that's for the part-time people. That's not for you guys. So I don't even know where you budgeted your expenses for your wages.
Are administrative wages in the 204 fund? And what are they total?
So the total administrator is $11,925.
Tax administrator?
Tax administrator is $5,210.
Finance director?
$9,615.
Any others? That's roughly $25,000 out of $43,000 of levy funds. Am I wrong?
Over 25.
How do I sell a park levy when none of the money goes to the park? The park gets $18,000.
Like I said to you, we were trying to put together the budget in a way that would alleviate some of the stress that we were putting on the general fund.
I want to know where the 10% distribution went. I don't know how that snuck through the cracks, but I would have never voted for that. So somehow it snuck through the cracks, and I don't appreciate it. I don't know where the language is.
And the 3% to the water, and the remainder to the general fund. I think the amount of salary that comes out of the park fund needs to be commensurate of the level of work. So if we're going to be taking 10% out of that fund, there needs to be a commensurate amount of work going into the park. And I think the park deserves that. And obviously, we're not talking about, in terms of the overall financial status of the village, it is a small fund
that does appear like it is getting raided for the sake of the general fund. And I think that's what Mr. Johnson is getting at, is where the argument could be made that someone is trying to collect extra taxes to pay for salaries rather than pay for the park.
The village spends $7 million a year. We spend $25,000 on wages in the park and $18,000 on the park. Out of $7 million, $18,000 is earmarked for the people to enjoy their park. I'm running on a campaign of let's make our park better. I guess I got a lot of work ahead of me.
I think those numbers need to be lowered.
And council can always, I mean, you control the budget. You can always amend the budget.
There's no way more than half of the park levy should go to wages. That should not be happening. $25,000 going to wages? That's what we just figured out here. You're looking like you're confused. We just figured it out. $18,000 of the $43,000 is going toward the parks. We need to have $43,000 of the money going to the parks to help make the parks better. That's what it's for. That's what the taxpayers voted for. Am I wrong?
I mean, there is a administrative aspect that goes to the parks. Absolutely. I think we're all
not $25,000 of $43,000.
We're all in agreement. It's not 10%.
Well, then, well, if I may, then, you know, you can make that case for, you know, for a lot of the different funds that we also part our salaries and benefits from as well. The point of putting our salaries and benefits into certain funds is because, yes, even if we don't do exactly 10%, you know, we still cover some aspect of it. And that helps alleviate the stress that we put on the general fund because, you know, if our general fund goes into a deficit, then we have to start making cuts, which means we got to start thinking about either cutting employees, and usually, in my experience, you know, they start figuring out, you know, they start cutting people by, you know, who has the most important work versus, you know, who can just pick up the slack. That means other things don't get paid for, which means things often go and get put off to the side for a remainder of time. So part of putting that money into the park levy was to help basically leverage the load of the salaries and benefits for some of the employees that work here. Because again, I understand the frustration that we're not doing 10% of any amount of work in the park to justify putting part of our salary and some of our fringe benefits in the park levy. But at the same time, our work still has some pertainment to what the park levy.
I wouldn't disagree with that if it wasn't funded from a levy.
I think that's the issue.
Well, because another aspect I can make the case about is the police levy. I mean,
as a citizen, I pay taxes on my income tax, and I pay a levy tax to the funds, to the park, to pay for park. I expect when I pay my income tax that pays for everybody that works in this village. And if I'm paying an extra for a park, I want to use a nice park, not give some of that to your wages. My income tax should pay all your wages. That's my opinion. If I'm paying extra, I should get extra, not less. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to move on. I don't know where to go with it. I just wanted all to be aware. We have a levy expiring.
It's really frustrating. I think people want to see their tax dollars at work, and when you can't really see that in somebody's wages. And it's frustrating. I know as like a parent with little kids, I would love to go to the park, and I would love it to. I visit all these other towns to go to their parks, but our park is just crumbling, and this money isn't going towards new equipment or this, that, and other. It's going to just maintaining the park. or like the electric bill or to mow the grass and pay you guys. So I see where you're coming from. And how do we sell people when we're not making improvements right now? I see it.
Well, at the moment, the current park board is trying to come up with a nice, beautiful plan for a new park. And our only option for funding is to create a plan and go and ask for donations. So that's what we're trying to do. But I would like to see this village hire a park manager. That person will probably work full-time in the parks 7 months out of the year. And I can't expect a park levy to pay that person's wages, because if the levy doesn't continue, then that person's wages will be gone. So that needs to be funded from the general fund, 100% of it. You can't, that person, 100% of their wages are coming out of general fund, no one's wages should come out of the park levy.
I think that is a point we all agree on, is that levy funds are specifically designed and collected for a purpose.
Yes.
And while I do understand the intent, and I do understand that the village is currently budget for a deficit, hence why the discussions we had a month ago happened. We're attempting to reduce that. We obviously went from a budgeted almost $500,000 deficit with the initial 2025 plan, and we've whittled this down to, what, 114? All of this is understood that we're running at a deficit right now, and we're trying to get this, and we're trying to stretch dollars where they can to get the village back in black. But this does seem a little
excessive,
egregious.
I want the 10% wages to come out of that park fund. I want it gone, expunged, before we pass a new levy, before we put it on the ballot. What do I do?
I would suggest that go to Finance Committee, because again, you control the budget, so you can always amend it. So I think we need to go to Finance, and then ultimately comes to you guys to approve an amended budget.
But with that being said, they need to bring a proposal of where that extra $26,750 is going to come out of, if it's going to come out of the water, where the extra funds is going to come out of. Because right now, the way we had it budgeted, I mean, we were trying to prevent, we were trying to alleviate the stress of the other funds. So that's something that the Finance Committee is going to have to also recommend to Council.
Where are we at on the rate study for wastewater?
They're still working at it as we speak.
I agree with Chad.
The floor is yours.
All right, we'll set that up. We'll have to set up a meeting with the Finance Committee.
Yeah, Tony's not here, and okay. He's on the Finance Committee, so.
So we'll have to get Mr. Dawson, get that going.
And Rachel and myself.
I'm moving on to Ordinance 13.
Mr. Mayor, can we make a motion, or can I get a motion to have a... never mind, I'm misspoken. I was going to potentially request to have a 5-minute break. But never mind, we can continue.
All right, Ordinance 13-2025, second reading.
Ordinance 13-2025 is an ordinance establishing the review process for site plans by the Delta Planning Commission and the Delta Village Council.
So moved.
Second. Now a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Frank?
Yes.
Shine?
Yes.
Demeline?
Yes.
Yes.
Bountiful?
Yes. Moving on, Ordinance 14-2025. Second reading.
14-2025 is an ordinance approving a memorandum of understanding between the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives in the Village of Delta.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Diane?
Yes.
Someone?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Ordinance 15-2025, second reading.
Ordinance 15-2025 is an ordinance approving a memorandum of understanding between the Fulton County Department of Job and Family Services and the Village of Delta.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and second. Roll call, please.
Wait, before we vote on this, there's a correction that needs to be made about the fourth paragraph down. Therefore, be it ordained by the council for the Village of Delta, Fulton County. It says OMO there instead of Ohio.
Yeah, I'm going to have Kevin send it to be different because our PDF.
It's weird, too. Look at the ordinance number at the top.
The converter, it messes it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we have a final corrected before third reading.
Okay, so motion and second for second reading. Roll call, please.
Dunlap?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Yes.
Ordinance 16-2025, second reading.
Ordinance 16-2025 is an ordinance approving a memorandum of understanding between Fulton County Sheriff's Office and the Village of Delta.
We did that one.
No, we did the previous one.
Oh, okay.
So moved. Second.
I have a motion and second. Roll call, please.
Staying with this one. It says OMO instead of Ohio. And I think you made a note last time that it says 2027 on the amendment, and it should be 2025, or on the ordinance, the printed copy.
You don't want to live in OMO?
OMO. OMO.
It makes the whole sign look different.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't break face that easy, Chief. Come on, that's got to be harder.
All right, so we'll have a final one for that one. Perfect, okay. So I had a motion and second for second reading. Roll call, please.
Adams?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Demmel?
Yes.
1 minute 17, 2025. Does this have the OMO in it, too?
No.
Just checking.
So before we get this
on the roll with them having the OMO in it.
Almost.
Before we take a vote on this, Chief, did you have anything that you want to say about any of these ordinances? Because they were initially brought when you were not here.
The ordinance for the MOU for the SRO, is that on there too? That's next, okay. I wasn't sure of the order. If we had any questions about that one or the other three, the two of them were pretty basic. One is with the Sheriff's Department just to allow information sharing so we can have access to the same portal. So if the agencies in Fulton County all opt into it. If you have somebody here in Delta that you put into the portal, you can see reports that they've generated in other parts of Fulton County. So it helps with investigations. If, you know, if they've been caught in the same kind of similar behavior, other issues in other parts, you can kind of track it that way. As far as investigations go, you can keep it so where it's not just open, all your files are open. So if there's a sensitive investigation that's going on in your area, another department just can't access. So you kind of have to allow reports on a report basis is my understanding of the system, but it would be good for information sharing and collaboration between all the law enforcement in Fulton County. So that's why I wanted to opt into it. The other one with the health department is just like how to do investigations, and you'll have somebody that's trained in the forensic interviewing for children, stuff like that. So it's another good ordinance. And the MOU is for me to stay being a task force officer, TFO, with the ATF, called the Tobacco and Firearms Bureau. Is what I had before. With that, it would just be kind of finishing up some of the investigations I had previously. They would provide a lot of equipment. The major benefits to the Village of Delta would be that if we had an investigation or case that had a federal nexus, then I could easily kind of open some of the federal funding to it. So for things like if we needed phone records or active ping on a phone or other things that we would do search warrants for, if it was a federal case or at least was a possibility of a federal case, the ATF could take on some of those investigative costs, especially when you're doing cell phone issue, things with cell phone search warrants, excuse me. A lot of those cost thousands of dollars. When you're pinging a phone for a location or if you're looking back for historical data on a phone, a lot of that can get expensive. So if we were to have an investigation like that, And it would also be easier then, too, if we were going to take it to the federal venue, I would be able to person that I can take that case and make it a federal case. I would do some work with them on some of their cases that they have going on in the Toledo area. It would be something that I would do kind of outside my normal chief work hours. There's a program called SLOT, State and Local Overtime. So if any time that I would incur over and beyond what I'm already working for the village, they would pay that time. They would reimburse the village for that time. So I would just keep a record of it. They would pay me at the, they would pay the overtime rate, the village would pay me, and then the village would get reimbursed by the Department of Justice at the after each pay. So it's basically no cost to the village. The village wouldn't be out any money. It would be something they get reimbursed for any of the time that I spent on any cases that weren't directly related to Delta. And I would do that outside of my normal time as chief.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Any questions about that one?
Moving on to 17?
Yes.
Ordinance 17-2025, second reading.
Vote.
Jerry.
Just as a reminder, we added
a 1999
Dodge Dakota to that.
The ordinance 17-2025 is an ordinance declaring certain property surplus and not needed for any municipal purpose.
So moved.
I'll second it.
I have a motion and second. Roll call, please.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Holloway?
Yes.
Holmes?
Yes.
Ordinance 18-2025, second reading.
Anybody have any questions about this one?
I have one. Sure. I read in the newspaper that they were tabling this discussion.
I hadn't heard back from the superintendent yet, so I somehow definitely checked with him, but I hadn't heard back from him once I got back yet. I sent him a couple emails. So.
Will that affect us passing this, or if we pass this, it'll just be kind of waiting in limbo, or?
Well, they would have to pass it, too, in order for the contract to be binding.
That's fine.
But I would want to make sure that they're on the same page as what we are doing. So
we should we table this?
No, it's only a second reading, so I'd give it a second reading and then see what happens after that. Unless, I mean, if council wants to table it, you certainly can.
Well, thank you. Second?
I can get back with the
she didn't read it yet.
Again and see where they're at with the motion.
She didn't read it yet. No. Still counts.
Were there any other questions about that one, about kind of how we saw it going? We have a spot for a 7th officer. We have been looking. We had some interest today with somebody that came in and kind of talked to us about potentially filling that spot. They haven't been through the academy yet. I think one of the things that we have been getting interest in is if we would do some kind of sponsorship for the academy. My personal feelings, as so far as paying for somebody from the academy and then going through it, it kind of leaves the door open. I mean, even if they sign a contract, I know that's not maybe not the... They could still leave, right? So kind of what I thought, and I think the other departments are kind of going to, is, hey, you go through the academy, and then for every year of service after the academy, we give you a bonus towards paying off the academy. So like $1,000, $1,500, $2,000, something like that for every year up until, you know, $6,000, $8,000, whatever it is that we would decide would be kind of the bonus for going through the academy and becoming a Delta police
officer. Help them reimburse their costs.
What's that?
Help them reimburse their costs.
Help them reimburse their costs. We spread out over a couple of years so that way if they only stayed a year, we didn't reimburse the whole cost of the academy. We paid, you know, $1,500 for their academy costs. And then instead of trying to do a contract where we'll pay you the whole thing, stay for 5 years, they leave, and then we're trying to recoup that money back, we could spread that money out to kind of, hey, give us 5 years of service and we'll pay you $1,000 every year. For 5 years to recoup that cost.
I like that.
So that's something that maybe we can work on in the future and kind of put into some of our recruiting information. It's like, hey, here's what we can do. So that's just an idea, something that I've kind of seen out there that maybe we could add to our recruitment pitch, I guess.
Is the rough plan to use a senior officer for the SRO position?
Yes. So most of the grants that we're looking at, they want an officer that's been around for a while. One of the officers on the department who is one of our good officers and I think would excel in the position, has expressed that he wants the position. So he would be the one that I would pick, Officer Bandine. And so that's kind of where we're at. If I wasn't aware that the school had tabled it, or the school district had tabled it, so I'll touch base with them and see where they're at. But that would be our hope, is that starting in the fall we would do it. I know they have budget concerns as well. And so if it's something that doesn't work out this year with the budget, it's definitely something that we're going to try to keep working on. But one of those ones with grants, until you have it, you can't get a grant for it.
So one last question on that is, so let's just say you don't get this seventh interested officer, and we do pass this SRO, and you have six officers, and how pinched is the department going to be?
I mean, it's tough to cover 24 hours, 365 with six officers or five officers. But we've done it before. Before I was here, it almost down to like two or three officers. So we can make it work. We do have interest from an officer who would be retiring from another department, who I think would be a good addition. He'd be in the fall. Just kind of like the next 6 to 8 months outlook, we have one officer who's probably going to retire in the fall. We have another officer that's looking, this will be his probably last year, or retire sometime last year. So we probably have two in the next year and a half probably to fill from retirements, and then that seventh position. So ideally, I would like to get it filled before before the SRO would start. But if not, it wouldn't be something I would cancel the SRO. It's important, and we can shuffle it around enough to make it work. I mean, the shift that's hardest to cover is obviously third shift. That's the tough one to cover. So we would slide assets to cover third shift or some swing shifts, and then leave first shift as more of just one off. So it would be just me on first shift, and then we'd slide some guys to go later in the day and kind of move everybody down.
I'm going to quote you on, we're going to make it work with five. We're going to log that away.
Yeah. So. We'll do our best. Great. But, yeah, I mean, I made a joke with Drew that if it's just the two of us, we've just had 12 hours.
All right, that's all I have.
Ordinance 18-2025 is an ordinance authorizing the Village of Delta, Fulton County, Ohio, to enter into an agreement with the Pike Delta York Local School District for a school resource officer.
Motion to approve.
Second. I have a motion and second. Roll call, please.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frick?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Devline?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
All right, moving on to new business. We have the discussion to create a public utilities department.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. So, as requested by council, I have brought to you a draft proposal for a public utilities department. What you have in front of you are four draft job descriptions for public utility operators. This is falling in line with what we currently have with our current pay scale for water and wastewater operators, given the fact that they would be combined into one department. There was also a recommendation by the Village's Services Committee to provide a 7% increase to these employees upon the creation of the Public Utilities Department and an agreement signed by these new employees signing on to their new positions. I've also provided to you a draft organizational chart on how these employees would be, who would be in the chain of command for these employees. So some important things I want to point out that I put in some of these job descriptions is to help cover the requirements that we would need for both water and wastewater work and for operator record. What I have is for operator number one is they would have to have an EPA class level one water license and an EPA class wastewater license one. And if they don't have that upon hire, then there would be a set date that they would have to meet in order to get the experience, in order to get the licenses and work towards getting those licenses.
It's going to be hard to set a date per se, because you need X number of hours in each one.
I understand, but at the same time, we have to give them a date of when they can receive it, because I can sit here and give them a job offer that, you know, they just need to work towards getting it, and they can still be here 5 years later and still haven't received it. So
there has anyone into that yet, where it's something like that?
So my concern with that is I spent 5 years training someone, and then we say, because you can't pass a test, you no longer work here, then I have to train someone else. Does that make sense? Another thing that I was thinking was, and they just don't get promoted. If you're not going to get your licenses and you can't pass it, you don't go to a water treatment or a public utilities too. You're stuck. You're stuck in that pay scale.
Manager.
What I mean, just be a janitor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's hard to train people, right? So you got to be EPA certified in the laboratory, which costs $2,500 each person we train in that lab. If we have everybody trained, I only have to renew our licenses once every 5 years. So there's a lot of cost savings to not putting that type of pressure on people. I've watched guys go take a test and fail, and then within 3 months they don't want to work here anymore because they don't think they can pass it, or it's like a big hurt to their ego, if that makes sense, because they just can't go past the test.
Is there an entry level position that we can have for those who haven't achieved that level one yet?
Well, the current situation that we have right now for the water and wastewater operators is they don't have to have them. They have to work towards getting one. But with these current operators, I know that some members of council had brought up and had discussed with me the idea that these new employees have some sort of training in both water and wastewater. So this is kind of showing how they could be both certified in both wastewater and water operations.
Yeah. We want all employees who are classified as an operator to at least be going towards their licenses.
Who do we have that's closing in on their ones?
So I have the two recent hires. They've been here a year. One of them is taking a class. The other one I'm kind of holding in limbo, like which class I wanted to go to, whether it be wastewater or water. But once it's figured out, he's got the time for the water, but he's really showing promise in wastewater. Like, he's really picking it up really well. So I feel like that might be where I want him to go. So if we get that class one license with him, then we have backup down there, which we don't have backup right now, other than Frank.
Back to my original question. Is there another job description that can be placed underneath operator? Just an entry-level position? There might be people that we need that position, right?
Almost like an intern?
It wouldn't be like an intern. It'd be like your entry-level... Water department, public utilities, and police.
That's exactly what a water and a wastewater operator one is they are it's an entry level position to get them understanding how the work is done because once they start getting those licenses, they then start getting promoted and start moving up.
So
the purpose of those licenses is not only to abide by regulations by the EPA, but in terms of how our organizational structure is it incentivizes them to receive those certifications so that way they can receive, more increases in pay.
Right. So you're level one until you get a certification, and then you go to two?
No, because a two is a class two.
Yeah. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah. You have to pass the test to be operator in training through
right.
the EPA. You could change the job description from public utility operator one to public utility operator in training. And then, you could add another level of job description that then has your ones and ones, your double one, and then you have your double two. And then he does have a senior operator for double threes or a three and a two, because that's what we currently have at the wastewater plant. But I think he was just trying to mainstream it and keep it with the current three descriptions we have as operators. But the operator one has always been treated as entry level.
Because another thing you got to point out to council as well is, like I said, I put these operators within the current pay classification we have right now, because if I were to make brand new operator positions and put them in different pay scales, we would then have to create a whole new pay scale for these employees, to which then I would have to figure out a way to decide which positions are going to be at equal to these other positions. So that's why, for example, as it sits right now with our water and wastewater departments, that's why our wastewater and water operator ones are at the same level, operator twos are at the same level, operator threes are at the same level, and then your superintendents are your department heads, so they are treated like all the other department heads here in the village. If we were to change the pay scale that we have right now, or change the classifications for this new department, we would have to then change the whole pay scale.
And this is the year that we need to review the compensation plan. We need to do that this year, so we can discuss any changes at that time. But
and if I recall, council has also been given a copy of the current compensation plan or the compensation study that was conducted. Which another aspect I will add to is that this draft that I have proposed to, yes, they do have a lot of certifications to them. Like I said, I was trying to streamline these positions, which means they would be adding up, they would be getting more pay incentive with their current pay scale. But I've also realized too that some of these positions would also be maxed out when you include their certifications at their current pay and adding pay incentives that we offer through our pay scale. And in some cases, we would be rivaling other communities that are larger than ours paying our employees. And because of our current pay scale, some of them would be maxed out to where pay increase would have to be approved by council unless you approved a new pay scale that was higher than what we currently have.
Are you saying that the salary range did you increase the salary range?
No, because in order for me to increase the salary range, the council would have to approve the increase in the salary range, which means we would have to create a new pay scale based off of, and the only way we create a new pay scale as part of our work is comparing other salaries in other communities.
Yep.
So, but no, to answer your question specifically, no, I have not moved the pay range at all. In fact, the salary range that you see on these job descriptions is at the current pay scale that we currently have.
So we have, it's one employee that's redlining, correct?
As of current, yes. But as I was saying, based on my calculations with these draft descriptions, with the certifications in mind that they would potentially need to get, and you add on the certification pay increases they get as a result of earning those certifications, there would be more employees that would begin to redline as well until council voted to increase the pay scale across the board.
Are we at a good level of employees? Are we max?
No.
Full capacity?
More
people?
No. So currently, no. We have one employee that is redlined. With two employees, if they were to receive a 7% raise, they would not be...
I'm asking if we're at max. Do we have enough employees in this department?
We're short at one. We have been making it work with... I have been speaking to our water superintendent, and we have been making it work with six employees as of right now. There was a request for a seventh,
which we have budgeted in for the fiscal year of 2025. That's not higher.
Or with the current discussion that we've had tonight about wages coming out of the park levy, we would then need to figure out where that extra money that we had put in as expenses for the park levy for salaries and for wages and fringe benefits, where that would need to go. And we also have a portion of wages and fringe benefits that also go into the water and sewer fund as well.
So I guess my question, and I'm going to loop back to Clark, just in regards to that because it got brought up. Even this 7%, so our 2025 budget is done, it's submitted, it's gone into the ether. We're not messing with that again. Mm-hmm. We are not paying, as the discussion we had in the special meeting with Village Services, for a wastewater superintendent or that employee anymore. Those positions have effectively been liquidated. So that pay that we budgeted for the fiscal year of 2025 is not being assigned to an employee currently.
Yes, that is correct.
So, in theory, could we...
But the hours are being charged to... But the hours that the employees are working at the wastewater plant are being charged to the sewer fund.
Okay, so... But we're not... They're not double booking. You're not paying the wastewater employees, the water employees, water and wastewater at the same time. They're either earning wastewater money or water treatment money.
Yes, that's correct.
So, still have the same number, a six, of water treatment employees, have no wastewater employees. Getting paid three and three, let's just say 50-50. We're still two employees, full salary and benefits, not being spent since, we'll say March. I don't remember the exact date when we...
February.
So there is potentially budgetary room in the 2025 fiscal budget in wastewater salary to move some funds.
Put up 10% of the salaries?
Just something to look at. And obviously we're talking about this right now, so I don't want to loop out all the way back into it, but it was a thought I just had as we were having this discussion that, there should be a little bit of wiggle room there.
Back to the qualifications, you need operator one to have both wastewater and water licenses.
I would prefer it says working towards those two licenses without a time limit, because in the compensation plan we also have raises attached to each license. So it is a benefit to them to continue to try to obtain those licenses to receive that license compensation.
Right. Okay.
What I'm saying is it is hard to train someone to operate. I am to the point now where I don't get called every single day asking, oh my gosh, the power went out. So you put a time limit on someone, you put the pressure on, okay? And these guys are not going to college. The guys we're getting are not going to college because they are not school qualified type people. And we're asking them to do that on their own, mind you, taking an online class or going to a class and sitting there and trying to understand something that is actually pretty complex and putting a time limit and then, okay, well, you don't get it. So now you're gone and I'm going to get another entry-level employee where I'm starting from scratch, right? So, and also the current employees we have, for instance, have been with one of them specifically that we're talking about redlining, has been with the village for 17 years. He's not really interested in going and getting more light. He will. If I ask him, he will. But he is another one that is going to take time to get that, and we cannot put that time limit on him, right? We can't lose him as an employee. He's too knowledgeable at that point. But not everybody's good at taking tests, you know. So I've got three guys in the department right now, including myself, that I know can go take a test and pass it, right? And then the other three... Okay, let's keep doing it. Let's keep practicing. Let's keep studying. Let's keep going. Let's keep moving. But they're great employees. So I just want to make sure that we're not tying ourselves down to getting rid of great employees because they can't pass a test.
So I guess what I think about this is what can we do to incentivize this, and I realize we're already giving raises for these licenses, but what steps can we help these employees to want to pursue this more? Is there something that we can do to help these employees feel more comfortable in this role? Because obviously we want them to succeed and we want them to stay with the village. We don't want to put pressure on them, but we do want them to grow.
Right. So currently, the way it was before, and I don't think there's anything set in stone or any writing, but the village has paid for classes. The village has paid for, go to take your test, to receive your renewals and things like that. I know there's been a lot of discussions in some of the meetings that we have where some of those things have to be spelled out. Is it something that these people should be taking upon themselves and paying for themselves? Like, he's having the same issue in the police department. They're required to have that stuff before they work for him. So, but it's not for me, right? But we still need them to want to get those licenses, so that's what we've kind of been working with. We have a guy right now that it took him multiple days in a row to go and get his permit for a CDL, but I never, you're going tomorrow. If you, you know what I mean? Like, so me being back there and being like, listen, you can do it. You got this. Go do it. Oh, I passed this and didn't pass this. We'll go back tomorrow and try it again. And now he's got his permit. So it's a lot of just like us as employees in a community just like pushing each other towards that.
Is there, oh gosh, I'm going to have to look into it now because I don't know the answer to this. Is there an entity like Northwest Water or TMACOG or somebody who offers any sort of publicly available training to new operators?
Well, mm-hmm. One of my operators is currently taking an online class right now for his class 3 water treatment.
So I know that there's some people who learn well online and some people who don't. Right? Do you know if there is physical...
So that's where it gets tough with those classes. So with the guy that's currently taking this online class, they had in-person classes, but you're talking Youngstown, and they're once a week driving to Youngstown, driving back from Youngstown. So it's really going to be dependent upon where ACCO has their classes. I know when I first started, we had a class right in Delta's break room, and the superintendent from Swanton came over, and he was a teacher. And then I had one at the city of Toledo, but they're losing instructors as well through that, so it's kind of hit and miss. I was hoping for an in-person class for my employee that's currently taking a class, but he's doing the online, and it's like a team meeting. So you have multiple people in it, you have the instructor. He seems to like it. So, I mean, we just got to keep looking at the schedule and see what they have. So, and it's like a 4 or 5 month class.
So your basic objection to this level one is the comment that says must work to obtain your license thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's within the time
frame.
Within that time frame, yeah.
You're okay with the must work towards.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Just to eliminate within mm-hmm. the time.
Because what's the hours required to test for a one?
2,080
for each. 2,080
a year.
Yep, a year. So it's a year's worth. At 40 hours a week.
Mm-hmm. So that's no holidays off, that's no vacation, no personal time.
Yeah.
I was going to recommend that we address the compensation package potentially before we add any employees to this department. So that would give us a time frame to maybe split that pay scale right there at the entry level one. And we can always make this department happen and go back in the justice salary range once the pay scale has been amended or reviewed. Since it's on the agenda this year anyway.
Does that take away the 7% increase then?
Well, these job descriptions don't include a 7% increase. They're right. On the current pay scale now.
So if a 7% increase would come within that pay rate, that pay scale as it's set right now.
Okay.
We weren't going to just move this, like I wasn't going to present to you a push to move the pay scale 7% higher. It's more like the 7% as it was presented to me is they give a 7% raise on their current pay.
And they'd still fall within
that range.
Job, correct.
Do we have anyone who's not CDL Class B, or is everyone good besides the guy who's just going?
No. So me and one other operator are the only ones with our Class Bs. Then we have that permitted driver, and then the other three would need to get theirs as well.
What do you feel like is a reasonable time to get that licensing? Because I feel like that is something we as the village can stipulate. You need to agree at this time.
Well, since they have to utilize our employees to be your instructor or trainer, it's hard to put a time limit on it.
What do they have, 20 hours of driving?
I think Neil said that they didn't need a specific amount of time. They weren't reporting it.
You have to hold the permit for a certain amount of time.
Yeah. And so I'm not really familiar with that process. We were just talking about that the other day to see if me and Downline would be able to get our instructor certification so that we weren't putting this all on Neil because he has his. So I'm not really quite sure on that. I don't need everybody to have CDL, you know. Like, it's another thing. Like, I want everybody to have treatment licensing because that's what helps this village stay within EPA regulations. But to drive the jet truck, like, you might have three people on the job for a jet truck and only one's driving it.
And if I may say, when I was reading our original job descriptions that was put together for the village, water, wastewater, and streets employees, all their job descriptions required a CDL Class B with air brake, at least with air brake endorsements. So
I think getting everyone towards their CDLs is important. Jamie, as much as I hope that I get to bury you in one of those plants, at some point you're going to leave us, and I would like to have our employees in a place to succeed. Yeah.
But another reason I would say I drafted these job descriptions this way was because, again, I understand that Ms. Flores is not going to be able to work here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So I kind of looked at it as, trying to make sure that we had people that were trained to be operator of record in the event that she would be out or even other people would be out. They would still be able to pick up and get the work done that's needed.
I think pushing encouragingly to get these done, I think the CDL should be everybody. I think that is something that needs to be...
I think that job description was written before the state changed their mandate on CDLs. You used to be able to go and get it for $300 and take the class on your own and have it. But now it's you have to go to class for 2 weeks and it costs $5,000. So it's a lot harder to come by now with entry-level positions.
Does Tanker cover the sprayer or no?
The sprayer.
The mosquito sprayer, street sprayer.
No, that is an application license through the DNR.
Okay.
All right. So we're looking to take out the time frame. Yes?
The CDLs, I think the guys will probably excel at that more than anything.
Well, I believe the time frame I just stated was that basically how I worded it was just when they got offered the job, it was, here's what we wanted, this is the amount of time we would give, we would like you to work towards getting it. Just because of the fact that I had been informed that, yes, it does take up quite a bit of time, 2 weeks towards those certifications. So it was just when I came here, we had an employee that was off, when he was offered his position, he was required to go get a certification, and he never... And at least when I got here, he hadn't even worked towards getting it.
Can we word it more along the lines of upon accrual of necessary hours, they take the test?
Yeah, we can absolutely do that because in my opinion is that there needs to be some sort of outline showing that we have an expectation that they need to work towards it rather than just being here, so to speak.
Yeah, I think
because to the point that Mr. Vice Mayor had pointed out was that if they're not working towards these certifications and working towards what they need to have in order to be in those positions, then what are they here for exactly?
Maybe the pay range needs to just be more separated, because as a level one, I can start out at $17 and max out at $25. But if I get my level two, I can be entry level at 19 and max out at 2680.
Well, the pay range
why doesn't the max out range kind of mimic the starting range of the next qualification level? I get years of services in there, but there's not much more incentive if you are entry level to be a level two.
Well, we can handle that during compensation plan.
Yeah.
Right.
Review.
That's the original one that was passed.
In 2020, well, actually, that was the revised one that was passed in 2024.
Yeah, we do them every 3 years. I'm saying I think our compensation package is going to blend into us making this.
And I was going to say,
melting pot of the department.
To part of this, as far as within the time frame, I think that's really up to the supervisor of the department to manage that, see how they're doing, and encourage them, once they get the time. Obviously, they can't even apply for it until they have the hours.
They have four years to obtain the hours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But not coming from the industry, No one's going to take it.
Yeah, that would be like me going to take it. Don't think that would come out rolling.
So do we get the ball rolling on this?
I think that's ultimately what the question council needs to decide. Now, there was a lot that was discussed. From what I know, as I have, is that we have the pay scale that was discussed, the CDL Class B that was discussed, certifications was another aspect that was discussed. So, Mr. Heben, I believe, if I understand correctly, if this is the direction they want to move forward with, they would need to then move towards having the ordinance drafted, correct?
If that's what, I've not seen what they have, but yes.
Did I not?
That's okay. I wouldn't have added anything anyway. So I think there are some changes that need to be made.
Squiggles got a couple things.
So maybe we draft that and get it to council, and then if you approve it at the next meeting, I can have an ordinance.
Yes, if I remember correctly, wasn't there an ordinance on the books currently that was established to separate the two that would have to then be repealed? Or no?
We have our code has two separate chapters that I'll have to look at to do some maneuvering there.
And I guess I'll need a little bit of clarification in regards to if we are doing the 7%, because I believe our one employee in question that is redlining without a pay increase.
Yes. That was another point that we need to discuss. Yes, I think of Councilman Shiro was. So we currently have one employee that is redlined. There is, in the ordinance that was passed for the compensation plan, that the council could could either provide merit or non-merit, basically bonuses on a merit or non-merit basis, as they saw fit. There was no specific language on how it needs to occur. I mean, whether it's I bring to you as a recommendation of what their bonus should be, or if you have an idea of what you believe their bonus should be, or you could decide to not give them a bonus at all, given the fact that they've already maxed out their pay scale. So at this point, what's to be decided for this employee as compensation or incentive is entirely up to council. If you want to have me go back to the drawing board and come up with an idea that I can potentially do.
So I think this is really kind of all in our court right now, because if we're going to be updating the compensation plan, I don't want to say, okay, well, we're going to give you X amount of bonus to equal a 7% raise, and then we change the compensation plan, and suddenly there's room, then that individual is no longer redlining. So I don't want to do that, because then we're prorating and we're back paying, and it's the whole thing. I don't know how council feels about that, but I feel like we need to potentially get the ball moving on this compensation plan adjustment rather than letting this trickle into the later part of the year. I suppose a conversation with said employee needs to be had with an understanding that this is something the village is attempting to do, but...
And with all that said, Chris, I need you guys to work on the wage scale with other communities and for the overall compensation plan.
Well, like I said, we already provided you guys the compensation study earlier in the year.
Jenna,
our finance director sent you guys an email earlier this year.
Okay. It was towards the end of last year.
I believe it was towards the end of last year as well.
Somebody bumped
that. Can you resend that email?
Yes.
I was going to say it didn't include the police department. There was a couple of things that were missing. I don't remember if that got amended to everybody because there was it had Exhibit A, which had the wage scale, but the police department was missing because they have a separate wage scale.
So based on what I've seen, it was that the copy of the compensation plan and study was sent to council on Monday, February 3rd.
Was it given to everybody on council or just the finance committee?
No, everybody.
I think I received a paper.
It was sent as a PDF.
Was that just the compensation plan, though, or was that?
Well, at least the compensation plan, I believe so. Yes. I'll double check to see if that did have the police department involved. But at the very least, it did have, I believe it had all the other departments involved. And it would involve the pay structure of some of the employees that would be involved in this discussion. So, never mind. I believe at the very end of the, it appears here at the very end of the PDF, it shows the differences in pay between the police departments based on their positions.
Resend that to us, just in case it has been.
All right, I will go ahead and I will read. I will resend that to council.
I am good with some adjustments being made to this and an ordinance being presented to us next council meeting. Anybody else cool with that?
Yeah.
Yep.
Our employees have been covering some extra work for a while. I'd like to see that they're showing some appreciation.
We good? Resolution 04-2025 is an emergency.
Resolution 04-2025 is a resolution authorizing the village administrator to enter into a cooperative fishing agreement with the state of Ohio for reservoir number 1 and declares an emergency.
So just to recap for council, at the last meeting, at the very least, it was just discussed for Mr. Heben to review and see if there was any issues that he had seen. In our last discussion, he had no issues with it. This agreement was supposed to start this month, so that is the reason why we have it listed as an emergency, so that way we can get it approved, so that way we can get it started under as soon as possible.
Kevin, just remind me really quick, that also allows our police department to enforce the laws in regards to this.
Correct. The fishing license littering was specifically set forth there.
So moved.
I'll second it.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, you have it. I have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Right.
This is to suspend, correct?
Oh, yes. Yeah, motion to suspend. Shiner?
Yes.
Zimmerman?
Yes.
Adams? Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Do I have a motion to make final on first reading?
So moved.
Okay.
I have a motion and a second to make final on first reading. Roll call, please.
Shire?
Yes.
Zimmerman?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, and the added resolution 05-2025.
Resolution 05-2025 is a resolution authorizing the village administrator to negotiate and execute easement for electric utility line construction on village-owned property in an emergency.
Okay, so I will give council a quick rundown of why this has been brought onto the agenda, and I will, with the best of my ability, re-energize your knowledge about this easement and what had been discussed before. So, in September of 2023, council had been brought before an easement agreement with First Energy on behalf of a company called AFSI to negotiate an easement for energy brought to North Star, and within that easement agreement, they'd be paying for a portion of property that one of our reservoirs sits on, and they would be allowed to gain access to a portion of that property through the easement agreement. Now, initially, that was approved by council in September of 2023. However, then 3 months later, in December of 2023, the ordinance was then rescinded by resolution because council had concern about the toe drains that would be affected on the property. So, so since I had started here in Delta, I have been working and have been discussing with a representative of AFSI who is here tonight to answer any potential questions or concerns that council had. But the new proposal that has been brought to council is a new easement agreement where they would be taking up less of a portion of the parcel through the easement agreement on the reservoir where instead of gaining access through the reservoir, they would be gaining access through another parcel and even through the turnpike, if I remember correctly, as well. Initially, the initial offer for the easement was $11,000. Through this new easement, First Energy had negotiated a new easement offer of less than $10,000. However, as of today, I received notice that First Energy actually offered counter offer with a new amount for the easement at around, I believe it was $15,007.50, which was at least $4,000 more than what was going to be offered in the initial easement in 2023 for a smaller portion of the property. So tonight I have Ms. Tricia Sands, who's in the audience, who would be able to come up to the podium and be able to answer any questions or concerns that council may have before they decide to make their vote on where they want to go with this easement.
Thanks for sticking around.
That's for the long one.
I have sleep, I think.
Not that boring.
I have new questions for everybody.
I want them. Yep.
Yep.
He wants mine too.
Yeah, the package that I initially brought to council was what was brought to me initially, so at least you guys could be up to speed on where we were at this moment before. So at least you guys can come prepared.
I will say I do like the new easement proposal much better. It gives me clear peace of mind of our toe drain area on the north side of that reservoir. That was brought to our attention by the EPA during the inundation study of the reservoir.
ODNR. It was a really weird letter. It wasn't even dated. So we just wanted to make sure that we worked with you guys. And I know my boss actually worked with... Did we decide which...
So in 2023, that was actually Mr. Glenn that was here when it was first proposed. I had spoken with Mr. Sika because this was brought to his attention. However, Mr. Sika was not necessarily comfortable bringing it to council at the time because he didn't know much about this easement or what had occurred. So he never brought it to council because he wasn't sure what the situation was or understanding it or how he felt about it. So he didn't want to bring it to council if he wasn't sure about it himself.
He wanted it on your plate.
Exactly, yeah.
So originally there was the concern about the filtering, and there was also a concern with the racetrack, as everybody knows that is now moving forward and is going north of the turnpike. Because of both issues that were brought up, safety and the toe drain. So that is the reason why the original easement was showing a lot more than what this is now. And it was about 3 acres before. Now we're at not quite an acre, 0.87 acres. So with that being said, Mr. Frazier brought up the other day, is there any more compensation available? So today we looked at it. in depth again and realized that it is zoned as a commercial property. And that's what the change was on the easement payment schedule, the option payment schedule. That shows that. Otherwise, I have any questions you guys have or you want me to explain more. There's a lot to go over in this packet, but the need bones are basically this page here and shows you everything. And then right before that is the draft where it says draft throughout. That there, that's what ultimately we're going for is an easement. And it tells your rights and their rights and that kind of thing. They're not actually buying property. They're just buying rights off of you guys for the property.
I think I have one question for Kevin in regards to this draft document. Thank you for getting it to ahead of time. I had some time to peruse through it. And it's the section towards the end that is the grantee will repair all fences, gates, lanes, driveways, drains, and ditches, damages destroyed by it on said premises or pay grantors for all damages, fences, so on and so forth. I just want clarification in the document about the tow drains specifically. That is my one request of this, is I don't want there to be any, well, that's not actually what this drain means. And I realize you pulled it back to put the fence up for that. I just want language. I want language protecting the village in case anything happens. Human error happens, and I want the village protected on that front.
Yeah, the potential catastrophe in results of damaging tow drains is beyond any of our pocketbooks.
And so if we can get language specifying the tow drain specifically so there's no wiggle room later down the road if something does happen, that was my one concern with this document.
Do you have an attorney that drafted this? Or?
Yes, this is our standard.
Yeah, yes. Let me get you one of my cards, and if you could have the attorney send me the extra language with that in, something like including but not limited to.
Okay.
I always lean on the side of over communication when this project's. Who ultimately would have access to this easement? Is there subcontractors that would have access to it? Is the work done by just the owners or the holders of the easement?
There'll be contractors building the structure, and then there's also that need to survey ongoing to see if there's any damage to the line.
So there's potential for multiple subcontractors to have access to the easement.
They'll all go through the racetrack to get to that, and then the fencing will be up so that they cannot get a big piece of equipment onto the tow drain.
That's my next question. So this easement will be fenced off?
And which line is the fencing line on the drawing?
Orange.
The orange one. That's our property.
That's in the...
You want to be that dotted line?
Yeah. Clear back up front. That line is just, right now, that is just showing where there's open between the tree line. But that is always
going to change
when there's some trees taken down during this construction because the easement calls for no trees in the easement area, obviously. So that would be longer for sure. I just don't know how long that would be. But it will not allow anybody to go past that from that access point.
So it's approximately that way.
Yeah, I would say so.
These dotted lines will be a fence, correct? Or is it this line?
No, she's talking
this here.
Uh-oh.
Is that the length of the fence? Is that it?
No, I'm saying that's okay. Subject to change. This is just our original. That's going to change based on the trees that are going to be taken out during the construction of the project.
And then I have.
Is there only, is there an open ended fence on both ends? Or?
It's going to attach to the original fences there, right, Tricia? There's an original fence.
Oh, there is an original.
It's a piece, and they're going to come to that and then bring it down past. Yeah.
Or nobody can go past the tree line or the fence. Thank you.
Yep. So it's only like 75. It's approximately where that dotted line is, which is 75 feet from
that. That's the easement.
You're not going to construct a fence within the 75 foot. You might be further.
It'll be further towards the. Wherever Mrs. Flores wants
it. So there's a fence there they have to start at, and then wherever they stop taking trees down is where they can stop because you're not going to drive through the trees, right? So as long as they bring that fence to the tree line, there should be no way for them to come past that in a vehicle.
This map shows a 75 foot from the edge of the reservoir to this dotted easement.
And you're looking at the exhibit one.
And that was Lynn's question, is it possible that you'd be less than 75 feet or more than 75 feet?
No, it's possible to be less than 75 feet. I see what you're pointing out now. It would be no trees past that dotted line are going to come out. So the center line, or the actual structure, will be right on that corner. And it's going to be the same exact type of structure as is on the northern side of the turnpike currently. So it could be closer to the structure and taking from that line all the way over to the property line probably is how that's going to go. But no, it won't go any closer to the, I would say it probably even be less than half of that 75 feet from the white line to the outer line of the 75 feet.
One more section that I just had a question on, it's more for Jamie and risk of any kind of groundwater contamination. I don't think it's really going to be a thing. I just want to pose the question. Right to trim, remove, clear, keep clear, and otherwise control by such message as grantee in its sole judgment may deem necessary or proper, including but not limited to use of herbicides. Are we concerned about any chemical use on that edge of the reservoir?
No. It's so low. The wind is up top. Like, you go up there, like, there's down in that gully, you're not going to get much wind. So I'm not really concerned about it. I don't know how much the lime we're using down there, but we use herbicides at the reservoir all the time. So as long as they're licensed spray.
Right. And we have forestry.
Perfect. I would just be remiss if I didn't ask.
And just so you guys know, they are going to do a habitat for in one of the areas that's behind the Fulton Pond, that's what it's called, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to do a habitat for pollination then. So they're installing that to help out with all of that in this area. So they're really trying to work with you guys and with the public.
You guys have sold the bees.
Is this where we're checking for the snakes?
That's actually where the snake study is part of the tie-in is.
Bad Creek, which is right to the west.
It's right there, yeah.
So you're not going to touch any of the aluminum plates that are already up there, right?
Is that where the aluminum plates are?
Yeah. Come on, just a snake.
That's not something I want to do. But it is a lot. It's only going to be for a few months, that snake study. And it used to be a whole year. They used to do it for a whole year. So it's much better now. And hopefully they don't find a whole lot of snakes. Because I won't be going out there.
Well, I'm out of questions. Thank you for working with us to come to a resolution.
Thank you for listening. And if anybody has any questions, my card is there. It's the middle number. anything that remotely comes to your head, if I can't answer it, I'll get you an answer. And I'll work on the document stuff. So thank you.
Do I have a motion to suspend?
Okay. I have a motion and a second to suspend. Roll call, please.
Dunlap?
Yes.
Adams?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Are we doing this without having the revised document?
You can do it subject to the addition that Mr. Shire, or you could just give it a first reading today. I don't know if there's a timing issue.
Well, that's why I'm wondering why we're suspending.
Well, the reason why it was put on emergency was because they wanted to get this easement done underway, like, as soon as possible. So
if we pass this contingent,
mm-hmm. then you could do that, or if you want to just give it a first reading, then at the next meeting you can pass it as an emergency and it will take effect immediately. The idea of the emergency is it'll take effect immediately today. If you pass it at that, you can give it its first reading, and then at the next meeting, pass it as an emergency, and it takes effect at then. So
I'm going to vote no for the suspending.
And you don't have enough votes.
So it's a first reading. I know.
Yeah. No, that's you need five to do an emergency. So this will just be considered a first reading.
All right.
I will make a motion for first reading based or contingent on updated draft language.
Second.
I have a motion and a second for this to be a first reading.
Adams?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Frank?
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Dunlap?
Yes.
Okay, motion to enter executive session for pending.
So moved.
Revised Code 121.22G3, conference with attorney for the public body concerning disputes involving the public body that are subject to pending or imminent court action.
So moved as recommended at 7:37 p.m.
I'll second it.
I have a motion and second. Roll call, please.
Johnson?
Sounds like a party.
Frank?
That's a yes.
Yes.
Shire?
Yes.
Dunlap?
Yes.
Adam? Yes.
No action will be taken after. Bye-bye.
Thank you.